Monastery of Kikos. The Monastery of the Virgin of Kikos is located at an altitude of approximately 1,200 metres, about 1 kilometre from Mount Kikos, a 1,318 metre high peak in the western part of the Troodos Range. That peak is also known by the name Throni, or Throni of Panagia. The monastery is the most famous and rich of the active Cypriot monasteries of our time. It's also one of the most important in terms of history, as well as national and social work. The Holy Monastery of Panagia of Kikos was founded around the end of the 11th century by Byzantine Emperor Alexios I Komnenos, and since then has housed the icon of the Virgin reputedly painted by Apostle Luke. According to the tradition concerning the establishment of the monastery, a virtuous hermit called Isaías used to live in a cave on the mountain of Kikos. One day, Manuel Botumitis, the Byzantine governor of the island, who was spending his summer holidays at a village in the Marathassa Valley, went hunting and was lost in the forest. He came upon the hermit and asked him how he could go back. Isaías, wishing to avoid all things of this world, did not reply. His attitude angered Butumites, who resorted to verbal and even physical abuse. Shortly afterwards, Butumites was taken ill with an incurable disease. This led him to recall his inhuman behaviour towards Isaías, and he asked God to make him well so that he could go to the hermit and ask for his forgiveness. God answered Butumites' prayers, but he also appeared to the hermit and revealed that everything had been the result of his will. God advised Isaías to ask Butumites to bring to Cyprus the icon of the Virgin painted by Apostle Luke, which was kept in the imperial palace in Constantinople. When Butumites heard the hermit's wish, he considered it impossible. But Isaías explained that it was God's will, and so they agreed to travel together to Constantinople. Indeed, they did. But time went by and Butumides could not find the right opportunity to seek the emperor's audience so as to ask for the icon. So he gave Isaías other icons and sent him back to Cyprus. Suddenly, the emperor's daughter was taken ill with the same disease that had afflicted Butumides. The governor then went before Emperor Alexios, recounted to him his personal experience with the monk, and assured him that his daughter would be cured if the icon of the Virgin was sent to Cyprus. Unable to find an alternative, the emperor agreed. His daughter recovered instantly, but not wishing to part with the icon, the emperor ordered a painter to make a copy of the icon, with the intention of sending that one to Cyprus. That night, however, the Virgin appeared to Alexios in his sleep, and announced that it was her will that the icon be sent to Cyprus and that he keep the copy. On the following day, the royal boat sailed for Cyprus, where the hermit took delivery of the icon. Tradition has it that during the procession towards the Troodos Mountains, even the trees bent their branches in piety. A church and a monastery were erected with funds dispatched by Emperor Alexios to house the icon of the Virgin. The monastery is widely known by the short name Kikos, or as the Virgin of Kikos. The origin of the name, which seems to date from the Byzantine era, is not known. One view is that it derives from the Kermes oak tree, Quercus coccifera, also called Kokos. Ephrem the Athenian, Patriarch of Jerusalem, seemed to adopt this interpretation. In his work entitled Description of the Venerable and Royal Monastery of Kiko, 1751, he makes reference to Mount Kokos, subsequently renamed Kikos. On the other hand, tradition associated the name Kikos with the call of a bird. According to that tradition, a bird with a human voice flew around in the area, presaging the establishment of the Monastery of the Virgin with these verses. Kiko, Kiko, Kikos Hill. A monastery the site shall fill, a golden girl shall enter in, and never shall come out again. The full name of the monastery is the Holy, Royal, and Stavropigic Monastery of the Virgin of Kikos. Royal, since it was founded and funded by the order of the Byzantine Emperor Alexios Komnenos. Stavropigic, since a cross had been placed at its foundations. A monastery is considered stavropigic or patriarchal when it comes directly under the authority of the ecumenical patriarch and is thus not under the administrative supervision of the local metropolitan or bishop. In accordance with the canonical tradition of the Orthodox Church, when a monastery is founded within the patriarch's jurisdiction, he has the right to send a cross, which is placed at the foundations of the monastery, thus denoting that the monastery is directly under his authority. As far as the buildings within the monastic complex are concerned, they date back to various periods. The church is at the centre of the monastery. Around it are built the various sections, such as the priory, the synodikon, that's the official reception area, the monk cells, the library, the museum, the reception rooms, the office of the administrative committee, and so on. In the middle of the complex, there's a flagstone-paved courtyard with a well. Originally, the church and most of the other monastery buildings were constructed of wood, which abounded in the surrounding area since the Kikos mountaintop is close to the Paphos forest. After the fire that broke out in 1365, the monastery was rebuilt using wood and stone, and when it was destroyed again in 1541, it was rebuilt wholly of stone. The church was made single-aisled, but it was enlarged in 1745, and two more aisles were added. The middle aisle was dedicated to the Virgin, hence the monastery celebrates her nativity on the 8th of September and her dormition on the 15th of August, when religious fêtes are organised. The right aisle is dedicated to All Saints, and the left one to Archangels Michael and Gabriel. The outer buttresses and the high walls give the monastery an imposing castle-like character. Most of the outer walls and open-air corridors of the monastery have now undergone renovation and been decorated with various religious murals. These murals are mostly mosaics and adorn the entrance and the walls of the interior court and corridors in such a way as to bind harmoniously with the distinctive architecture of the complex. The mosaics and frescoes are the work of the Kepola brothers, Cypriot icon painters, and of others from Greece and Romania. These are some of the most characteristic scenes on the ground floor. To the left of the main entrance, a mosaic depicting Apostle Luke painting the icon of the Virgin. Walking towards the corridor to the right and then turning slightly to the left, we see frescoes depicting, to the right, Monk Isaias on the mountains and Governor Boutoumidis striking him with a stick. Boutoumidis on his sickbed. To the left, miracles worked by the icon of the Virgin, Porphyrios, who fell off his horse and was helped by the Virgin helping sailors. To the north we see scenes with miracles worked by the Virgin, Panaia Eleusa, the Virgin of the Kikos, Turks looting the monastery after hanging Abbot Joseph in 1821. The entrance to the chapel of Ephraim the Syrian, on the first floor we have frescoes and mosaics depicting angels and scenes from the lives of Jesus and the Virgin. The steps lead us down to the lower level of the monastery, where there's an open courtyard with a large well at its centre and a shop selling the products of the monastery. Across the shop there's a huge mosaic depicting the Dormition of the Virgin. If we look towards the southwest, we see the belfry. The belfry was built much later than the church, in 1882, since during the Ottoman occupation Christians were not allowed to ring their bells. There are six bells, of which the biggest is Russian-made and weighs 1,280 kilograms. To the north we see the monastery church, where the miraculous icon of Panaia Kikodissa, the Holy Virgin of Kikos, is kept. The icon is associated with the founding of the monastery and constitutes one of the most significant aspects of its presence. It's also known as Panaia Eleusa, the source of mercy. The Virgin is depicted holding Jesus on her right arm. According to tradition, Panaia Kikodissa is one of the three icons of the Virgin painted by Apostle Luke, by divine order, 7 years after the resurrection of Christ. In 1756, the icon was covered in silver gilt, a shirt in ecclesiastical terminology, and the cover was renewed in 1795. The Virgin's face is veiled and is never revealed, either because such was the wish of Emperor Alexios, or in order to inspire greater respect. It is said that in 1669, Hierasimos, the Patriarch of Alexandria, dared to raise the cover to see the Virgin's face, but he was castigated for his sacrilegious act and was obliged to ask for God's forgiveness in tears. Russian monk Basil Barsky, who visited the monastery in 1735, wrote that the monks revealed the icon only in periods of drought. They first carried it to the nearby mountaintop known as Throni, and then they sang a paraklesis, or supplication. They avoided altogether looking at the Virgin's face, which was turned towards the sky. The people of Cyprus greatly loved the holy icon, which is renowned across the Orthodox world. Several icons in many countries, such as Greece, Russia, Bulgaria, Egypt, and Ethiopia, are dedicated to the Virgin of Kikos, indicating the great respect it enjoys among Orthodox peoples. People from various parts of the world come to the monastery seeking the help of the miracle-working Mother of God, asking her either to cure them of some illness or to grant them the strength they need to cope with life's tribulations. This is why, as we shall soon see, the church is filled with votive offerings attesting to the Virgin's miracles. For instance, a part of a swordfish saw was offered to commemorate how some sailors were saved from certain drowning when a huge swordfish punctured the sides of their ship in 1718. A Turk behaved irreverently towards the holy icon and his arm was paralysed. A bronze arm serves as a reminder of that incident. In general, all votive offerings tell stories of miracles worked by the Virgin, many of which have been sung by verse writers. Let us talk of a miracle associated with an infidel Arab. One day, the Arab shot an arrow that struck the Virgin's knee on her icon. Blood started flowing instantly from the dry wood, shaming iconoclasts who refused to worship the holy icons. The Arab was scared witless and ran towards his house, but he was struck dead before he got there. No written record of that miracle survives in Cyprus, but we do find such a record in Russia. An old Russian text describing the icon of Panagia Kikotissa says, among other things, "The Virgin of Kikos sits on the throne holding Christ and is flanked by two angels. An Arab shot his arrow to the Virgin's knee and drew blood." In addition to written testimonies, a unique depiction of the miracle has been preserved to date on an old Russian-style icon housed at the Yaroslav Museum of Fine Arts. We now enter the church, a domed basilica. The iconostasis belongs to the 18th century. The valuable heirlooms kept in the church include crosses, portable icons, a wooden antimension, encolpia, gospels ornamented with precious stones, silver ciboria, silver and gold ecclesiastical items, discs, chalices and so on, episcopal mitres, belts and vestments, silver tabernacles, oil lamps and chandeliers, holy relics and other objects. The interior of the church is taken up by the admirable frescoes made in 1975 to 1984 by the Cypriot icon painter Christos Georgiou, inspired by the pictorial cycles on the life of Christ and on the life of the Virgin. The frescoes in the Holy Bema, the sanctuary, which are just as admirable, date from the late 18th or early 19th century. Hanging from the central aisle roof are the two Russian chandeliers brought by Abbot Cleopas in 1913. The miraculous icon of Panagia Eleusa is on the iconostasis among the other icons. It is the one painted by Apostle Luke, according to tradition, and is now covered with a silver gilt shirt encrusted with precious and semi-precious gems under a hand-embroidered cloth with a delicate tissue. To the right of the icon we see the replica of an arm, reminiscent of the miracle with the Arab. A large silver cross weighing 8.5 kilograms is a very recent addition, October 2011, to the iconostasis. A further change was made in 2012 to the interior of the church. The large hall adjacent to the north aisle, which was in the past used for baptism, has been converted to a vestry that is open to the public. It houses a remarkable collection of silver and gilt reliquaries holding the relics of many saints. The monastery inspires awe and admiration, thanks not only to its wealth and prestige, but also thanks to its work through the ages. In the past, especially during the Ottoman occupation, it had developed diverse national activities. Archbishops and other important clerics emerged from its ranks. The monastery operated a school and contributed to the great cause of enlightenment through financing book publications, among other things. Unlike most other monasteries, the Kiko Monastery is not cenobitic. Its monks are salaried and can have private property, which, however, comes to the monastery after their passing. Today, the fraternity numbers nearly 30 monks. The most reverend bishop of Kikos and Deliria, Nikiforos, is the abbot of the monastery, which is also the see of the Kikos bishopric. The monastery continues to play an active role supporting people in need not only in Cyprus, but also abroad. A sound example over recent years is the monastery's contribution in the form of medicines to the Doctors of the World, thus assisting with their efforts to soothe the suffering of victims of wars or natural disasters. The monastery's activities and contributions have grown by leaps and bounds, as evidenced by the number of metochia, or dependencies, and other centres under its jurisdiction. Metochia abroad, there are dependencies in Constantinople, Smyrna, Prusa, Caucasus, Georgia, Tripoli, Syria, Beirut, Antalya, Andrianopolis, Kos, Ceres, and Philippopolis. Metochia, or dependencies in Cyprus, Aios Procopios in Nicosia, Archangel in Lacatamia, where there's a monastic fraternity with three individuals. The Holy Monastery of St. Eftichios and St. Nicholas in Paphos, with one monk. Panaya του Σύνδη, in the village of Benthalia in the Paphos district. That monastery is an ancient monument restored and awarded the Europa Nostra Award. Ξεροπόταμος, Monastery of the Saints Sergios and Vakos in Pentaya, Morphou. Under Turkish occupation since 1974. Central office of the Kiko Monastery in Nicosia, Kiko Monastery Nursery. Near the Metochi of Aios Procopios, there's a nursery producing and selling fruit-bearing and ornamental plants. It's an impressive garden, covering a large area and adorned with busts of the monastery's abbots, various flowers, bushes, trees, artificial ponds, and spaces for birds and animals. School of Byzantine Music. Also in the Metochi of Aios Procopios, in Nicosia, there's a school of Byzantine music which offers free tuition. Centre of Social and Spiritual Support. The Centre of Social and Spiritual Support is located in the Metochi of Aios Procopios near the seminary. The centre's mission is to offer help, support, love and care to human beings in order to soothe away their pain. The centre coordinates with similar institutions in Cyprus and abroad. The Eleusa του Κίκου Foundation. The foundation operates a facility near the Anthoupolis intersection, offering daily care and lodging to people with mental disabilities. Museum of the Holy Monastery of Kikos. The museum was created and operates along the applicable international museology standards. It houses collections of Byzantine icons, vestments, manuscripts, ecclesiastical items, and early Christian artifacts. We will have the opportunity to visit the museum and admire the heirlooms. Library of the Holy Monastery of Kikos. The monastery library contains 17,000 volumes, of which 2,000 are incunabula. It also includes approximately 150 manuscripts, an archive of Greek manuscripts and an archive of Ottoman manuscripts. The library is open to students and researchers. World Forum for Religions and Cultures. The World Forum for Religions and Cultures is a charitable, not-for-profit, non-governmental institution established by the Holy Monastery of Kikos to contribute to the peaceful coexistence of populations and to promote mutual understanding among religions and cultures. The institution comprises the following departments. Department of Studies and Research. This department conducts studies and research within the framework of European and national programs, aiming to improve the religious and cultural understanding among Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots, and other groups as well. Further, the department aims to facilitate the social integration of non-Greek Orthodox immigrants, non-Orthodox Christians, and non-Christians and so on. Department of Communications and Events. This department organises conferences, symposia and lectures and promotes the experiential familiarity with Orthodoxy. The department also organises cultural presentations, religious, archaeological and folkloric, and cultivates international collaboration with similar institutions. Department of Educational Affairs. This department sets up seminars, lectures and educational programmes. Department of Publications and the World Wide Web. This department employs internet communications to promote the above subject matters, to publish conference proceedings, studies and researches relevant to the forum's objectives, and to further the interfaith and intercultural dialogue. Archangel Cultural Foundation of the Holy Monastery of Kikos. The Cultural Foundation was established in 1986 and is housed in the renovated Metochi of the Archangelos Monastery in Nicosia. The foundation encompasses the following activities. Research Centre of the Kikos Monastery. The centre aims to promote writing, publishing, organising symposia and seminars, and research primarily into monasteriology and the history of the Church of Cyprus. Library of the Research Centre of the Kikos Monastery. The centre's library houses 40,000 volumes. The Centre of Treasure of Cypriot Greek Historical Lexicon of the Greek Language in Cyprus. The Archangelos Metochi houses the Centre of Treasure of the Cypriot Greek Language, which has created a database of the Greek language of Cyprus since antiquity, along the standards of the Thesaurus Linguae Graecae. Laboratory for the Restoration of Manuscripts and Kiko Monastery Museum Offices. These are laboratories where restoration is undertaken of books, manuscripts, heirlooms, paintings and textiles. Monastery of Kikos Events Hall. This is a hall with a 500-person capacity. It serves as a venue for speeches, lectures, conferences and other cultural events. It boasts a simultaneous translation system. Let us now talk about a much-revered personality who is inseparably associated with the Holy Monastery of Kikos. The first president of the Republic of Cyprus, Archbishop Makarios III, served as a novice in this monastery. In accordance with his wish, he was entombed at the Throni Top, 3 kilometres to the west of the monastery. Archbishop Makarios was born Mikhail Christodoulou Mouskos in the village of Panaya in the Paphos district, on the 13th of August, 1913. In 1926, at the age of 13, he was admitted to Kikos Monastery as a novice. He also completed his secondary education in Nicosia. In 1942, he graduated from Athens University with a degree in theology and was then appointed priest in the Orthodox Church of Cyprus, without giving up his interest in theology. In 1948, he was offered a World Council of Churches scholarship and thus began his studies at Boston University in Massachusetts. In the course of his studies, in 1948, he was elected Bishop of Kition and returned to Cyprus, where, 2 years later, he was elected Archbishop of the Autocephalous Orthodox Church of Cyprus. He immediately displayed his charismatic leadership traits as head of the church. However, his relations with the UK authorities then governing Cyprus were not at all smooth. Like many other leading Greek Cypriot figures of the late 1940s and early 50s, he was a fervent supporter of union with Greece. On the 9th of March 1956, the colonial administration deported Makarios to the Seychelles, together with Kyprianos, the Metropolitan of Kyrenia, Papastavros Papagathangelou, and Polycarpos Ioannidis. They remained there until the 17th of April 1957, when they returned to Athens. From July 1957, Makarios started making public statements departing from the struggle for the union and advocating independence. Cyprus was eventually declared an independent state on the 16th of August 1960 after the Zurich-London Agreement. Makarios took on the office of president, having won the elections on the 13th of December 1959 with 66.29% of the votes. In February 1968, Makarios was re-elected President of the Republic of Cyprus. From the moment he took on the presidency, he enjoyed wide acceptance among the people, both Greek Cypriots and Turkish Cypriots, thanks to his personality, his past record, and his role in the Cypriot cause. His prestige and moral stature had won him international acclaim even in the non-Christian Arab world. His participation in the non-aligned movement secured him international recognition, and the reverence due to his clerical status was never questioned. Nevertheless, Makarios had often incurred the displeasure of the Greek government, especially from 1953 onwards. On the 8th of March 1970, there was an assassination attempt against Makarios, who was riding a helicopter to the Macheras Monastery to attend the memorial service for the EOKA deputy leader Grigoris Avsentiou. Makarios did not sustain any injuries, and the pilot, though wounded, managed to land the helicopter in a plot near the archbishopric. Makarios never underestimated the importance of his duties as primate of the Church of Cyprus. Thus, in March 1971, he travelled to Kenya, where he set the foundation stone of the seminary, which was completed in 1974 and funded by the Archdiocese. During that visit, he baptised approximately 5,000 natives. In February 1973, Makarios was elected President of the Republic for the third time. On the 7th of March of that year, the three bishops of Cyprus decided that Archbishop Makarios III should be removed from his episcopal throne and be defrocked, because he didn't heed their demand that he resign the presidency. The action of the three bishops was condemned by the people and was not recognised by the heads of the Orthodox churches. A major synod convened on July the 5th and 6th, and again on July 14th, 1973. After declaring the three bishops' decision unconstitutional and therefore null and void, the synod called the three bishops to revert to the previous relationship vis-à-vis the archbishop. When they refused to obey, they were defrocked. On the 15th of July 1974, the Athens military junta sponsored a coup to oust Makarios. The archbishop fled to the monastery of Kikos in time to save his life, and in the afternoon of that same day he went to Paphos, where he addressed the people. His message said, "Greek Cypriot people, you hear a well-known voice. You know who is speaking to you. I am Makarios, I am alive. I am the one you elected as your leader. I am not dead, as the Athens junta and its representatives here would like me to be. I am alive, and I stand by your side, fellow soldier and flag-bearer in our common cause." Thus, the archbishop quite categorically refuted the announcement of his death by the state radio station of Cyprus. Then, via the British military base and Malta, he travelled to London, where he had a secret meeting with Bülent Ecevit on the following day. He afterwards flew to the USA to go to the United Nations headquarters and present a report on the situation in his country. On the 20th of July the same year, using the coup as a pretext, Turkey invaded Cyprus and captured 36% of the lands of the Republic, ousting 28% of Greek Cypriots from their fatherland, killing non-combatants and causing great destruction. Makarios died of a myocardial infarction on the 3rd of August 1977 in Nicosia, at the age of 63. Makarios was proclaimed an honorary professor of the Faculty of Theology at the Universities of Boston and Athens, of the law schools of the Universities of Kerala in India, Thessaloniki, Bogota in Colombia, and Malta, and of the Pantheon School of Political Sciences. He was also bestowed the supreme decorations of most churches and states, and the gold medals of Greek and foreign municipalities. Now let us continue our trip and visit his tomb. Exiting the main gate of Kikos Monastery, we turn right and walk up towards the top of the mountain. Coming to the first bend, we see on our left the monastery's winery. A further 200 metres brings us to a stone structure on our right, supporting five church bells. They too belong to the monastery. Continuing our walk, we reach the end of the way, a large square where visitors can park their cars and pay a visit to the pavilion, a very recent addition. Our gaze is immediately drawn to the imposing bronze statue of Archbishop Makarios III. It's 10 metres high and weighs 13 tonnes. It's the work of Nikos Kotchamanis, a Cypriot artist from Morfu, who lives permanently in London. For 21 years, the statue adorned the courtyard of the capital's archbishopric and was carried here in 2011 despite the reactions of certain citizens. Archbishop Chrysostomos II stated that he had taken the decision because the statue blended better in the environment and because he wished due reverence to be paid to the first president of the Republic of Cyprus. It should be noted that Makarios himself had wanted to be buried high up in the mountain, so as to allow his gaze to rest upon his children, as he used to say. Continuing uphill, we follow the wide path flanked by high walls of volcanic stone adorned with mosaics depicting saints, just like in the monastery. The mosaics are the works of two icon painters, a Cypriot and a Greek. After 250 metres, we enter the narrow climbing passage on our left, which 100 metres further up terminates at the tomb. The archbishop was laid horizontally, with his head towards the west and his face turned towards the east. An inscribed marble stone covers the grave. The inscription is an excerpt from a speech he had delivered to the Cypriot people. Young Cypriot soldiers stand guard at the tomb every day. The tomb resembles a chapel. It was the archbishop's choice, as he had seen a similar grave abroad. Two flags, of Greece and Cyprus, are flown at all times. Starting on the trip back, within 50 metres we find a vantage point which allows us to see the Paphos Forest to the southwest, the occupied Bay of Morphou to the northwest, and Olympus, the highest Troodos peak, slightly to the northeast. From that vantage point, if we climb 100 metres, we reach the peak of Throni, which also offers a spectacular view. The Kikos Monastery recently constructed here a small open chapel in the shape of a rotunda. As you wander through the monastery grounds, you may come across the most elderly monk, Father Evgenios, or the monastery priest, Father Charalambos. The priest lives in the guest house, 150 metres outside the monastery. Going back by car, you pass the guest house. Visitors can stay there, subject to advance booking with the monastery. Another 150 metres beyond the guest house, we reach a large square with parking facilities and a cafe-restaurant for those who wish to rest while enjoying their coffee or meal and looking out to the sea. There are also shops selling traditional products and foods, as well as products of the monastery. Most popular among those are the wines, other traditional spirits such as zivania and kamandaria, but also mountain herbal teas. At a distance of approximately 10 kilometres from the monastery, there's a holy water spring. On the way from the monastery to Pedulas village, 8 kilometres to the right, you come to the Xistaruda picnic area. If you take the exit to the left and follow the dirt path, which hugs the slope of the mountain, you will end up at the Pirgi locality. The holy water spring is there, to your right, on the mountainside, a little above the river. The water flows from an opening under a huge rock. According to tradition, a monk was walking in the area tending to monastery business. It was harvest season, the weather was scorching hot, and the monk was tired and thirsty. He fell unconscious at that spot. When he regained his senses, he prayed and asked the Virgin to save him. He heard a voice telling him to strike the rock with his hand. He did so, and sweet water started flowing out immediately.